Psalms 99, I got to get started here. I'm excited about the truth this morning in the Word of God. Verse number 1, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Verse 3, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name, they called upon the Lord, notice this, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Notice what it says in verse number 6, if you will. They, being Moses and Aaron and Samuel, they called upon the Lord, and notice what it said about that. When they called upon the Lord, He answered them. And this morning, that's what we're going to speak about, those words, and He answered them. It also says in verse number 7, He spake unto them. In verse number 8, it says, Thou answerest them. So I read this psalm this week and said, boy, that is something I think that can develop into a message. The fact that He, the God of heaven, the God that the Bible says here in verse number 9, the God that's holy. And keep in mind, an introduction here this morning, we're going to pray in just a minute, but keep in mind that He answered them, even though the Bible says that they had their wicked inventions, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions, and they forgave them. We're talking about the Israelites here. We're talking about a complaining nation. We're talking about a nation that over and over again found fault against God, found ways to complain, and found ways to be disruptive, and yet God answered them in spite of that. That gave me hope this week as I read this passage. And let's take a moment now and pray and ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the truths found in the Bible. I pray that this 99th Psalm this morning would be a blessing and encouragement to each of us. And speak to our hearts, Lord, through this message. Holy Spirit, use my words, Lord. I alone can't bless the people, but You can through me. And so I pray that You do that today. Thank You for the great group of people here today. Pray, Lord, that we would look to You now. And focus in on the message at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, or this week, as I was preparing this, I should say, I thought about growing up days. And I do that often, but I thought about times when, and even now as I'm a parent, but I thought about times when my mother and my father would call us. And, you know, they would say, Ben, John, and they got so mixed up when, as we had four of us. I'd be John, and I'd be Matt sometimes, and Matt would be Ben, and John would be Ben, and you know how that goes. And so they just called all four names sometimes, and all of us came eventually. But they were calling us because either we had something that we needed to do at the house, or they needed help with something, or maybe, I know this didn't happen very often, maybe my room wasn't clean, and I needed to clean it up. And of course, I needed to keep it clean. But they would call, and you know, sometimes, I know that you as a child never did this, but I know I did. Sometimes I didn't even answer. I just went about my merry way, and yes, I heard that voice calling me, and I didn't even respond. Oh boy, don't do that. That's not very good. Say something, right? And all of a sudden, I'd hear it again. By the time I heard all three of my names, I knew that I'd better do something or there was going to be trouble in River City. That's Benjamin Nathan Turner. Whenever you hear all three names, you know that you better respond. So they would call me, and I learned the hard way sometimes that I was to answer when they called. What amazes me now as a parent, and I do believe that you reap what you sow, and sometimes I'm reaping what I sow when I was a kid, but what amazes me is how children, they can speak so loudly in amongst children, and when the hockey game's on, and when they're out on the playground, when they're at the park. I mean, they can call so loud. They can call their buddy who's a half mile away and he'll hear them, or she'll hear them. But when it comes to a dad and a mom calling their child, you get this, yes, dad. I mean, the response is so quiet, or there's none at all. And I've been saying to our, to my children, when they answer, I say, look, I know how loud you can talk because I've heard you talk louder than that. So would you please so kindly, if they're upstairs and I'm down, and I know it's probably not good to call that far away, but in my home growing up, it was like that. My dad, again, is a coach, and many of you have met him, and his voice carries rather well. So you don't need to walk all the way over to the foot of the stairs. You just kind of get your coaching voice on. And so when I don't hear any response, I wonder if he's fainted or if he's fallen asleep or what's happened. And I know that he can respond, and I know that it can be communicated because normally the volume must be turned down. The point is this. The psalm that we read just a few minutes ago deals with praising God for His justice and holiness. It deals with the fact that God answered these men of God. We have Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. Also, the children of Israel would have to be included in that group of people. He answered them. Because of these attributes of justice and holiness, it assures us that you and I can trust God this morning. We can trust Him. By the way, I would like to concentrate on these phrases this morning, and I hope that you can take them with you. Verse number 6, He answered them, and verse number 8, Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. As we get into this truth this morning, let's establish this, however. Let's establish that the God whom we read about in Psalms 99 is the one true living God. I don't believe there are many gods this morning. People have their gods, small g. There is only one capital G God in this world this morning, and it is the God of the Bible. I was talking to some young people this week. We were playing basketball over here off of Smith Avenue in a park, and after I got done and could hardly breathe, I got my New Testament out and was able to witness to several teenagers on Wednesday. And I said, we were talking about God. And I said, by the way, young folks, or young boys, I said, I'm not talking about all these gods that people refer to today. I'm speaking of the one true, holy, living God, the God of the Bible. I said, my God that I worship and serve is alive. He's not buried in a tomb. There's no monument to Him. There's no pyramid to Him. He's the true and living God. And I'm excited that we serve a risen Savior. By the way, He rose on Friday, not on Sunday, by the way, just so you know, to get your calendars right there. He was crucified on Wednesday and rose on Friday. But anyway, that's okay. We'll stick with Easter on Sunday next week anyway. But that's another message in itself. But we read about the true and living God from Psalms 99 here. He is the true and living one. I'm excited about that. And this morning I'm so excited that He's just as powerful. He's just as omniscient. He's just as, by the way, all-knowing. He's just as omnipresent. He's just as loving, caring, merciful, and kind as He was in the Bible days and in past history. I like what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5. Maybe you know the verse. Jesus Christ, the what? Same. Yesterday and today and forever. So this morning we're talking about someone we're going to speak in a few minutes. He answered them. Not only did He answer them in the Old Testament. Not only did He answer them in the gospel days. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Apostle Paul and the disciples. Not only did He answer them then, not only did He answer them in the early foundation of our country, not only did He answer in the 1600s, and when Spurgeon was preaching over in England, not only did He answer then, not only did He answer when Dwight D.L. Moody started the great Moody Tabernacle in Chicago, not only did He answer then, but I believe we serve a God, the God, I should say, that answers us just as much as He did them. Malachi 3:6 says this, For I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change. He's the same as He was back in Moses' day. He's the same as He was back in Aaron's day. He's the same as He was back in David's day. He's the same as He was back in the minor prophets' day. He's the same as He was when the New Testament days was being lived and the feeding of the 5,000 and all of those great miracles took place and the healings that took place. He's the same today. We have to grasp that. I think so many times we get the wrong idea of God. We think He's an old man with a long gray beard and a bad back. That's not my God. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty There's nothing my God cannot do. Nothing against somebody with a long gray beard and a bad back, by the way. But because I may be that someday. I don't know if I can picture myself with a long gray beard, though. But that's not my God. My God doesn't walk around with a cane. Nothing wrong with you have to walk around with a cane. But don't get me wrong. I think we need to have a picture of God as being one that is a great, true, and mighty God. However, he's not a God that just stands up there with his mallet ready to pound on us when we do wrong. That's not the God we serve either. He is just and merciful, but he wants to meet our needs, and he will answer us. Let's get a bigger picture this morning, a better picture of the God we serve. The God I serve and the God you serve this morning, the God of the Bible, is in fine condition. He's in good shape, by the way. He doesn't have to go out and jog around the block like I need to every week, every day, to get back in shape. And he doesn't have to go to the workout facility and tone up his muscles, because he's toned up, he's ready to go, he's ready to answer you. The problem is, we've just got to call out. We come back to the phrase, he answered them. We come back to David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 in verse number 8, where the Bible says this: David inquired at the Lord, or he talked to the Lord, or he asked the Lord. In 1 Samuel 30 verse 8, you know what it says after that? It says that David inquired at the Lord and he answered him. How many of you this morning, and you can answer this by raising your hand in your heart, how many of you this morning want God to answer you? I sure do. I want God to answer me. I don't want it just to be something that gets to the ceiling tile and comes back down and it doesn't get past the ceiling tile. I don't want it to be something this morning that it's just a bunch of vain words this morning. And look, you don't have to have a written out prayer to pray to God. Just say whatever comes to the heart. God hears and answers all of our prayers. He knows what you're saying. I have a man that I've been working with, and I won't be now, but he's changing hospitals. But he did some training with me. I was his trainer, even though I was brand new. But at the Royal Columbian Hospital there in the visiting program, the pastoral care, and I prayed with a visitor, or I prayed with a patient. We left the room, and he said, "Boy, how did you do that?" I said, "What are you talking about, Jean?" He's French. He said, "The prayer. How'd you do that?" I said, "What do you mean, how did I do it? I just prayed." He said, well, I'd have to have something written out to say something like that. I said, "Jean, prayer is not something written out. Prayer comes from your heart. You just go to God and say, 'God, here's what I need,' or 'God, here's what I need help with,' or 'God, I need you to help this person in my life. God, be with my family member as they're traveling. Whatever, John." I said, "Jean, you don't have to read a prayer. You can just say a prayer from your heart, and God will answer you." How about Elijah? What was the name of that mountain he stood on? I can't remember. Remember? Carmel. Just need if you can remember. I love caramel apples. I saw somebody eating a caramel apple yesterday. Boy, that looked good. It reminded me of Elijah on Mount Carmel. And you know what happened? The prophets of Baal, they tried to get fire down from heaven. And did they get an answer from Baal? No, he was on holidays, or he was having his lunch break or something. I don't know what he was doing. That's what Elijah said. He said, "Why don't you try out calling again?" Did Baal answer them? No, he didn't. Why? Because he's not a God. Elijah got up there and said, "Okay, guys, have a seat over here. Get on the front row here. Get in the good seats. Let me show you how to do it." He said, "By the way, I want you to make it even tougher. I dig a trench around mine and then pour all these buckets of water over it." They did that, and you know what happened. You know the story. The point is this morning that he prayed and God answered him. The Bible says that the fire came down and lapped up those altars, as well as the water that was in the trenches. God answered Elijah. I'll tell you this morning, I want God to answer me in my life the same way that he did Elijah, and I believe God will do it for you, and I believe God will do it for us. In Acts chapter 2, the church was together, the Bible says, with one accord, and the Lord answered them with the power of the Holy Spirit to help win souls. God answered the children of Israel with water from the rock, manna from heaven, and quail from the skies. And he answered them. Now, let me give you a couple of things this morning about this truth, and he answered them, to give application this morning and help. I hope these points have helped me already, and some of them are obvious, but I want to give them to you anyway. Number one is this. When it comes to the title is, and he answered them. Is anybody warm? No? Okay, I'm hot, but that's okay. I'm supposed to be. I'm working. Point number one is this. A request must be made. A request must be made. It does no good to believe that God answers us and brings down the rain. Amen. It's raining outside. And it does no good to believe, "Yes, I serve a God that answers me. Yes, I know God answered the people in the Old Testament. Yes, I know God answered the people in the New Testament. Yes, I know God answered people in the early days of our country and back when revival was sweeping around." It does no good to say that if we don't ask. So number one, a request must be made. Look at verse 6 there in Psalms 99. notice this phrase in verse 6. They called upon the Lord. Pretty simple, but so profound. Moses and Aaron, Psalms 99 verse 6, Moses and Aaron and Samuel, what had to take place before the Bible says that he answered them? What'd they have to do? They had to call. They had to make a request. They had to say something to God. God, I know I've said before, and I still believe it too, that God does give us the desires of our heart according to Scripture. And sometimes when we don't even ask for something audibly, God even meets those needs. But I'll tell you this morning, the obvious can be overlooked sometimes. Before God is going to answer me, I must call. There are certain circumstances, of course, that God answers before we call. God has everything you need this morning. I think about the truth of salvation. How can you be saved? Romans 10:13. Or whosoever shall what? Call. That's right, call. So, to be saved this morning, do you just sit in a church service and I go, wowie, zowie, bam, and you got it? No, that's not how you get it. That's how I wake you up, but that's not how you get it. No, I'm kidding. That's not how you get saved this morning. I can't just wave a magical wand this morning or come up here and smack you over the head and you fall down and flop around all over the ground and say, I'm saved now. No, that doesn't save you. That gives you a backache maybe or a headache if you hit the ground too hard. But what saves you according to the Bible? You got to call. You got to call. There has to be some sort of, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve heaven. I know I deserve hell. But thank you, God, for loving me and sending Jesus Christ to die for me. Would you please come into my heart and life and be my Savior? Call. There has to be a call. Before God can answer me, a request must be made. He has the answer this morning regarding your health trouble. He has the answer this morning regarding your job. He has the answer this morning regarding your children. He has the answer this morning regarding your doubt. By the way, we all doubt. Don't get too spiritual this morning and think because we all go to church that we all have the faith of the greatest giant of faith in the world. We all have doubt. You have to have doubt to get more faith. He has the answer regarding your direction in life. He has the solution this morning to whatever dilemma you might be facing. He has the answer. Now, the only problem is, we have to go and ask for it. He's not just going to come down this morning, and he may do this, but I think it's better. The Bible says that they called upon the Lord, Psalms 99:6, and he answered them. We've got to come before the Lord this morning if we want God to answer and meet our needs and make, number one, a request must be made. My Bible does say this, ask and it shall be given you, Luke 6:38. So before it can be given to you, what do you have to do? Ask. You know, this is so basic. Before I can give my child a drink, what does he have to do? Like, I can't read his mind. I haven't quite got that down yet. You know, my wife and I sometimes will say things at the same time together, and we were both thinking the same thought, and that's pretty amazing, but that happens sometimes. But most of the time, if I don't know what she wants before, I can't just say, well, I think you need this, don't you, dear? And she'll say, well, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Very rarely does that happen. Or if one of our child needs something, you know what they have to do before they can get whatever it is they need? I have to ask. Does that mean that every time we ask for something that God's going to give it to us? Of course not. God knows what we need and what would be of a harm to us, but the bottom line is we have to ask. This morning, let me ask you this question, and you answer it with a smile or an amen or whatever, however you want to answer it. How many of you this morning are saved? Amen. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. I know if the building collapsed on me this morning, I know I'd be in heaven. Then you know what sometimes we ought to do? We ought to just smile. Thank you, Jack. That looked great. This has nothing to do with asking this morning, but I wrote this in my notes. I don't know why I did. Must have been something that was happening when I was writing the sermon. But we ought to just smile. I love that song. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. Good. All right. Good. We got three people saved in here this morning. No, I'm teasing. I love that song. If you're saved and you know it, shout amen. I like that one. Amen. I know I'm saved, and I'm not ashamed to be a Christian this morning. Sometimes we walk around with our lips so far down. I've already told you about that poochy lip disease, but this, I thought of this. Sometimes we walk around so far down, with our lip down so far that the street sweepers are going to be put out of business on your street. You know why? Because you're putting them out of business, you know? And I'm guilty. I think I wrote this for me because I was frowning when I was writing this. And God said, you know what? Smile, son. Smile. Jesus saves. Amen. That's a great song. Smile. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Smile. God hears and answers. He heard and answered in the Old Testament. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he hears and answers me today. You know what? I didn't even ask God for that. You know what we did? Well, I did pray. I did pray and ask God to help us to find those lapel microphone clips. I take that back. I did pray about that. I said, God, we got to find these things. I don't like getting tied up with this thing. I like to move around, and this thing trips me. And here we got two of them, and the Lord gave them to us. I'm so excited about that. God heard and answered that prayer. You prayed and asked God to bless and give safety to my wife while she traveled. And half of it's done, so don't quit praying yet. Keep praying. The other half's tomorrow night, and that'll be hallelujah. Mommy's home. I can't wait for that. But and thank you. Thank you for praying. God answered that prayer. You see, God answers. But first, a request must be made. Number two, it will be easier to hear the request from a clean life. Oh boy, you're going to say today, Pastor Turner said, God's got a hearing problem. No, God's hearing is fine. He doesn't have a hearing problem. No, but what I'm saying is it does no good, or little good, I should say, to ask God when we are living carelessly. What's the Bible say in Psalms 51:10? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Okay, here's the picture. I go to God, or I go to my prayer, wherever that is, prayer closet, prayer place, upstairs, attic somewhere. I go to prayer. I get down on my knees, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, that so-and-so, or that whatever, or this circumstance. And now I go to God, and I say, dear God, would you please meet my needs? You think God's really going to be wanting to meet my needs when I've got bitterness in my heart towards someone? This is an example, by the way. Do you think God's going to meet my needs when I'm not in communication in the right way with my wife or my children? Do you think God's going to meet my needs when I am questioning what God has done in this church? Do you think I'm going to meet my needs when I'm questioning how things have happened in my life, how things have happened with my wife's grandfather, how things have happened with whatever it might be in my life and in your life, whatever it is? Do you think as we go to prayer, if we don't have the right heart, a clean heart, and the right spirit, do you think God is going to want to meet our needs? Psalm 73:1 says this, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. They wanted pure gold in the temple. The Bible speaks of the priests and Levites being purified before they performed the Passover. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:26, the words of the pure are pleasant words. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:8, but as for the pure, his work is right. Hold your finger in Psalms 99 and turn back to 2 Timothy in the New Testament. 2 Timothy, let me show you a little verse here that I think is a very powerful verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22. So number one, we said this morning, when we talked about, and he answered them, what was the first thing we said? That a what must be made? A request must be made. So the first thing is, hey, I'm excited. God answered prayer. Amen. But you know what? We got to ask. Ask, ask, and ask. By the way, ask and ye shall receive. That means ask and ask and ask and ask. Over and over, ask and ask and ask. And prayer is asking. I believe we ought to pray for the needs of others first and then pray for our own. But prayer is asking. Look at 2 Timothy 2:22. The Bible says there, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Boy, there's a good thing to stake our families on, and whatever your family consists of this morning, we need to stake our homes on righteousness. Faith. Well, there's a good thing. Faith in God for salvation. Faith in God for my daily needs. Faith in God that my car will start. Faith in God that He'll provide whatever I need. How about charity? Well, there's a good one. Love. It's a word for love. Try 1 Corinthians 13 sometime, a wonderful chapter. Peace. Well, there's a good one for all the Baptist churches. Let's have peace. Amen. We can all get along. You know, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Although I'm all for standing by the Word of God, though, and there won't be peace if you're going to go against the Word of God. We got to stay with the Word of God. But peace. With them, notice, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So there we go this morning. We're to flee also youthful lust. We're to flee living for the world, and we're to do what? We're to follow these things, righteousness, faith, love, peace, and be around them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So this morning, the first thing that we saw was that a request must be made. The second thing we said this morning was that it's easier for the Lord to meet that need or that request from a clean heart. He has the solution this morning. Are we asking? Have you asked God for something this week? And I want to be careful this morning, because the first thing that I do when I pray is I pray for others. I think that's key. And then at the end, pray for the needs that we might have in our family or whatever it might be. This morning, have you made a request? Do you have a mountaintop that you think there's no way you can scale it? If that be the case, go to God in prayer. God is the God of the mountaintop. He can get you over that mountain. He can get you on the winning side. He can help you this morning. Have you gone and made a request this week? I beg of you this morning, test God. You know what God says? He says, test me or prove me about one thing, giving in Malachi. But this morning, I want you to do that this week. Let's test God. Let's prove me and know that I am God, the Bible says. And let's go to God with our request. Why? Because He will answer you. But before we do that, let's strive to have a clean and a pure life this week. And every week and every day. Number three is this. Spend more time thanking Him as you did asking. Or than you did asking, I should say. That's wrong. Spend more time thanking Him than you did asking. I think this is key. This is where I drop the ball right here. Here's what I do. All right, let me give you an example. I go and I sit down at my home, and I've got a major need. I mean, it's big time. And I have a seat, or I kneel at the wherever I pray at on a daily basis, and I may go to God for a week or 2 weeks and ask Him to meet that need. And I'm intense about it, and I'm trying to live a pure life, and I'm asking. That's what the Bible says. If we'll just ask, we can't expect Him to meet unless we ask. And so I say, Dear Lord, I want You to save my lost relative. Dear Lord, I want You to help my brother to get back on track and live for You. And I pray 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 and I pray. And I ask and I ask and I ask and I ask. And well, wouldn't you know it, my relative gets saved. You know what I should be doing when that happens? I should be going back over here. And I should be putting in double time. And I should be putting in more time thanking God for meeting that need than I did asking Him. I should go to God in double time if I have to. God, thank You so much for saving so-and-so. And wouldn't you know it that I ask and I ask and I ask for this need or whatever it might be. And maybe it's something, maybe it's a need for you. And maybe it's something that you share with me. Or maybe it's something on the prayer page. And God meets that need. And you know what sometimes we do? And I'm guilty. I'm telling you, I'm confessing to you now. And I've already confessed it to God that when those needs are met, you know what we do? We just say, well, okay, that's good. And then we leave it. Wait a minute. I've got it all wrong. And I've already been on my knees and apologized to God this week. When God, look, we got to ask first. Amen. We got to ask first. We got to live a good life, not to get to heaven, but we should live. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But not only that, look, I think we got to be thankful. I think we got to come back. Let's just do it right and get down on our knees and say, Dear God, thank You so much for fill in the blank. So many times He meets our needs, and what do? Good job, God. Okay, now, what was I? I'm telling you, that's the truth, because I am being the first one to say I'm guilty of it. And God is my witness, I'm going to work doubly hard to be doubly thankful for what the things I ask for. And you know what? I've been doing this my whole life. This isn't a new truth under the sun. I'm just saying we ought to be thankful. You know what? You know what you tell your children? Say thank you, don't you? When you had young children, maybe your children are out of the home now, but you always taught them, would you say thank you when somebody gives you something? And yet, you know what? When God says, and when they don't, you know, it's called in the car on the way home. Caleb, you didn't say thank you. Why didn't you say that? Brianna, you didn't say thank you. Why didn't you say thank you? And we teach respect. Why? We teach thankfulness. Why? Because we know that's the right thing to do. And you know what? Many of us here this morning in this room, including the leader of the group right here, have not been thankful enough to God for the great things that He's bestowed upon us. And I think that might be why some of our other needs have not been met. I don't know. You know what, though? I do know this. Okay, I'm going to pretend to be God. I'm not God, but pretending, okay? And here's God up in heaven, and He's looking down on everyone. And He sees Christian so-and-so. And Christian so-and-so is thanking Him doubly. You know what I think? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe God doesn't do this, but I'm just giving an example. Boy, I think God, if I'm God, I'm going to want to say, boy, if that's the way Christian so-and-so is thanking me, I better just meet a couple other needs and see what happens. And then there's Christian so-and-so over here, Pastor Turner. He slips up and God meets his need and he just gives him a good old high five. Thanks, God, appreciate it. Now, what was I doing? You know, I mean, $10 clips. That's what God got a hold of my heart. And I didn't really thank God. I just kind of said, oh, that's good. Whoa, we don't have to pay any money. Good. All I was concerned about was the 10 bucks. I wasn't concerned about going to God and saying, you know what, God? I know I'm just one of 6.5 billion people, but you just met a need. Thank you, God. That's what I should have done. And you know, when God meets your need and when God meets our need, you go through surgery and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. Boy, these floors must be dirty. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you make it through surgery. And what do? We tip God. Oh, God, thanks. Appreciate it. When we ought to be going back to our prayer closet over and over more than we did to ask God for the healing and say, dear God, thank you so much for guiding those doctor's hands and for getting me through this surgery. Spend more time thanking Him than we do asking. Last week, we had a little scare here. I couldn't find that box right there, which has all of the speaker cords in it and the microphone that I'm holding right now. I told you about it already. But I was praying and asking God for mercy that would show up. And I told you, the box was there and God protected it in spite of my foolishness. And I was foolish in leaving it out. But I did. I took some time and I said, dear God, thank you so much. Boy, I'm so clumsy and I'm so absent-minded. Thank you for looking out for me today. I think God remembers those who thank Him for meeting the need. Though there, I think God thinks, oh, there's so-and-so thanking me again. Hey, Gabriel, would you make a note of that on so-and-so's account? Because whatever they need next time, make sure he gets it or they get it. I believe thankfulness is the key. Number one, in closing, a request must be made. Number two, it's easier to hear the request from a pure heart. Number three, spend more time thanking than in asking. This morning I realize the message has been for those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. For you see, this morning, if you are not sure about heaven, then you need Jesus Christ this morning. Because if you go to Him and request for whatever, first you need the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf and takes those requests to heaven for you. This morning you need Jesus. God does hear the prayer of the sinner calling out to Him for forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. We must know this morning that according to Romans in 3 and verse 10 and verse 23 that all have sinned. Look, this morning we serve a God that answers us, and He did. He answered before you were even born by sending His Son as a gift for you. Also, we must realize, number two, there's a price on sin. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. It's a penalty. The penalty is death and hell. And without Jesus Christ's gift of salvation, God is justice. God is just, as I said this morning, and those without Christ will have to go there. But I'm so excited this morning that Jesus paid that price. In Romans 6 and 23, it says the gift of God is eternal life. Also says in Romans 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth His love. I'm thankful this morning God loves you, and I'm thankful this morning that God loves me. He loved us so much to send us a gift in His Son. And then, as we said earlier, the only way we can get that gift is to call. It doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't come by being a church member. It doesn't come by getting wet in a baptistry. That'll just make you a wet individual. It won't make you a saved one. It doesn't come that way. It doesn't come by giving to the poor. It doesn't come, by the way, all these things are good. It doesn't come by living a good life. It doesn't come by being a preacher. It doesn't come by being a whatever title the minister is at said churches. That's not how you get to heaven. The Bible says you must call by faith and be saved through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Of course, after we are saved, baptism is a command and it is a part of the Word of God, but it does not involve your getting to heaven and then getting involved in a Bible preaching church. Thank you so much for being a part of this church. You know what? I believe God has so much in store for us down the road if we'll grab a hold of this truth this morning. And He answered them. Do you really believe this morning that God will answer you? Not the person sitting beside you. It doesn't matter if it's your wife, your son, a friend. I'm not talking about them. God will answer you. You. You in that chair, however many inches it is. Talking about you sitting in that chair. Me standing right here this morning. God will answer me. He has 6.5 other billion people that can be offering prayers up. But he'll answer me. I believe he will. Number one, a request must be made. Number two, that request ought to be made and will have more effect coming from a clean and pure heart. And number three, I think we ought to spend double time thanking God when he meets those needs. And he will. He will meet those needs. We ask prayer. We ask God for the start of this church. We started this church almost 2 years ago in this very room right here. Some of you were here that day. We've asked God for certain things in our church, and he's met those needs. We've asked God for a church vehicle, and he answered us. Did we thank him doubly than we asked him for it? I don't think I did. You know, we're praying for Sunday school. We're praying for other needs. We're praying for a building. I'd rather have a building than meet here, but you know what? I'm thankful that we have a place to meet. Thankful we don't have to meet outside. Amen for this weather. I'm glad we're inside where it's dry, but you know what? Let's continue to ask, because that's the only way we're going to get. But let's remember that when we get and when the needs are met, let's remember to be thankful. That's one thing that I was, one thing of many as a boy that were pounded into this head and into this heart. Be thankful. Be thankful. You get to that meal this afternoon, even when Dad cooks, it's hard, but be thankful. I cooked McDonald's one time this week. That was really good. And you didn't know that, did you? Be thankful when you bring that food up. I know kids. I know you've heard it. I heard it when I was a kid. You don't want to eat such and such broccoli or whatever it is. And your mom and dad lay that one on you. There are kids starving all over the world that would love to have it. And you know what? They're right. You know what? It would only take you a few hour plane flight from here to go to a certain country. I don't know, maybe Mexico in some places. Maybe even places in this country. Maybe even in downtown Vancouver where they're just looking through the garbage cans to try to find something to eat. And yet we just go to the fridge and open it up and it's right there. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I am thankful today for what I believe to be the greatest church in all the world right here, Anchor Baptist Church. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be the pastor of it. I believe it. I believe we have the finest people in all the world right here. Lord, I believe this morning this is a truth that I know that I have to work on this. I have to try to come to you more because I try to meet some needs sometimes on my own. And boy, I don't have the means financially or strength or whatever it is to meet needs, but you can meet them through me. So number one, I need to come to you more, Lord. And Lord, I need to try to clean up my life. Be pure. And Lord, I need to be more thankful. I pray this morning that we'll take this truth and apply it. This truth can be lived by anyone. It doesn't take someone with a Doctor of Divinity degree to meet and to do this truth right here. It's a Bible truth, and it's a practical truth. And I pray that we'll live it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. The music will play in just a few moments. We'll stand. And I'd ask you to do this. Look down deep in your heart and in your soul and see if there's not something that you ought to come forward this morning and give to God and just say, okay, God, help me in this area. Maybe this morning you're not sure of your salvation. You don't know if you died today you'd go to heaven. You need to get that settled right away. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Whatever need it might be, you say, I'd like to pray with you, Pastor. Come on down. I'll pray with you. Look, I think we can step it up a notch in this attitude of prayer and this attitude of God meeting our needs and this attitude of being thankful and this attitude of living a pure life, not a perfect life. We can't be perfect. We can't be sinless. But God can give us victory. And so this morning when the music begins to play, we'll stand. And what about you? The Holy Spirit touched your heart. You come. Your Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message. I thank you for the people here today. Bless now in the invitation. Speak to our hearts. Use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand where you're at right now for just a few minutes? The music's playing. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What about it this morning? Did the Holy Spirit speak to your heart? Are you thankful? Is there someone that the Holy Spirit placed on your heart that you need to come forward this morning and pray for? You come. You come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this service. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for loving us. Keep us safe now as we travel to our homes. Bless our service this evening at 6 p.m. Speak to our hearts there for that time as well. We'll give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.